Don't they just like issue guns when you move to Wyoming?
Yeah.
Yes.
When you cross the border, they hand you $1,000 and a gun.
Pulls you over and are like, here's your rifle.
Exactly.
The Department of Commerce sends you a little packet with all the tourist information.
Yeah. Just like they hand you weed when you get to California.
All right, folks. This is the Freedom Fiends. I'm coming to you. This is Nima Vidati, straight from the ATX, Austin, Texas. And over on the other end, who do we have?
This is Mr. Michael Dean calling in from my windowless bunker at an undisclosed rural location in Wyoming.
Excellent. And we've got, we want to welcome some affiliates here today, don't we, Michael?
Yeah, WZFG 1100 AM in Moorhead, Minnesota, / Fargo, North Dakota. I guess it's one big metropolitan area. 50,000 watts of tyranny-busting goodness straight to your ear hole. It covers like 3 states and 2 countries, I think.
2 countries, yeah. Canada and the United States. All right, and we've also got another great North Dakota affiliate.
Who's that?
What is it? KTGO, I believe?
Yes.
The Flag?
1090 AM in Tioga, which is kind of an oil boom, really cool kind of place. It's like it's kind of like the show Hell on Wheels, from what I understand. And it's got the lowest unemployment in the country. That whole state does, actually. I think they give you a Mercedes-Benz to work at McDonald's there because they have such a hard time getting people for any job that pays less than $900,000 a year.
Everybody wants to be a roughneck.
Yeah, it's great, man. We salute them. We want to thank them for their fracking service.
Yeah, definitely.
Seriously, man, that's the free market. That's the market. We like to call it the market instead of the free market. Now, why is that?
Well, because there's 2 kinds of transactions, right? Or 2 kinds of means of getting what you want. There's the political means, which means you go to Washington and you lobby and you get laws passed and you have cops enforce it and you have regulations and that's how you make your living. And that's not very fun at all and not very moral. And then you have the market means. The market means is the exact opposite. That's the voluntary means. That's when you trade with other people, you homestead something, you work with the original owner of a resource if you want part of that resource or the fruits of the labor of working on that resource. And that's what the oil boom is, man. That's people just going out there working the land, literally.
Homesteading.
And homesteading.
Sort of, in a way.
Well, yeah. Well, somebody probably had the mineral rights. I don't know exactly the details of it. But regardless of how that all worked, it's the market means, man. It's people doing work that needs to be done that people want to pay them willingly for. You know, we all need fuel for our vehicles and various other things. So that's all stuff that people want for real and are willing to pay for. So it's the market.
Yeah, and we think that the term free market, first of all, is redundant because the market is already free. And second of all, we don't like to use the term free market all that much because the term has been co-opted by people who are really, really not free market. Politicians that claim to be small government, like here in my state of Wyoming, there's a small government Republican saying that we need a tax on everything sold on the internet. And he's really just doing it because, you know, he's basically trying to keep the horse and buggy manufacturers, you know, working and in business after cars have come along. And actually, these days you can get your horses and your buggies on the internet, literally, you know, so you don't need the brick and mortar store. But people think that there should be protections around something just because it worked for a long time. And there's a lot of progressive liberal type people who are really backing this internet tax. And I want to say to them, not that any of them are listening in North Dakota probably, but I want to say to them, You know that you are agreeing with Wyoming Republicans and with Walmart because Walmart backs this bill too.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course they do. Well, to me, the thing is freedom is a binary aspect, right? It's either free or it's not. There's no little bit of free or we need a more free market. That's just nonsense. Either the transaction is a market transaction and it's free and voluntary and there's no force or regulation or top-down orders going on, or it's the opposite of that. It's one or the other. You can't have both at the same time. They're mutually exclusive.
But Nima, without laws in place to protect things and people's jobs, what would happen?
Well, people will go work at whatever pays, and that's where the market really is, because what pays is what people are paying for. So people will go find the jobs that are most economically viable that the market really wants, and then you don't have an economy that's basically an illusion. You don't have bubbles that are artificial. You don't have people building a bunch of houses when there's no people to buy those houses.
My wife, DJ, went shopping yesterday at Walmart wearing her new shirt. And I'm not bashing Walmart. I'm just saying, like, it's a place people go. It's a bunch of people in one place. But she was wearing a shirt. She got dirty looks for wearing a shirt that said, "Contrary to popular belief, nobody owes you anything." Like, several people actually mad-dogged her just for wearing that shirt. I guess there are people who think that somebody owes them something.
Well, there are situations when somebody can owe you something. Like, if I agree to work for you for a certain amount of money and you don't pay me, you owe it to me. But you got to go out and get those things. You know, it's up, it's on you. Nobody owes you anything out of the gate when you're born. You don't get anything just for being there and taking up space.
But Nima, don't people have a right to free everything if they can't get it on their own?
No, and I don't know anybody who's ever put forth an argument that's logically sound to that effect. I mean, people just say it and move on as if it doesn't need to be challenged. You know, well, we need to have food for everybody, and we need to have healthcare for everybody. What they're missing is that that implies that other people have to provide you something for free. That means if you think you get free food and free healthcare, what you're really saying is somebody needs to work for free to provide you that free food and healthcare.
But Nima, what if a majority of people vote and say that that should be how it is?
Well, that doesn't change it.
That's moral. Isn't that fair if a majority, if 51% of the people say that everybody else should pay for everything?
Well, you know, that's been disproven a whole bunch of times, and I guess I'll do it again, but it doesn't make it fair the more people that say something. You remember your mom's telling you something when you were a little kid, like what's popular isn't always right? And
no.
It's kind of cliche, but the truth of it is that the amount of people that believe in something doesn't change the objective morality of it. So if 99 people decided that ice cream was immoral and it shouldn't be sold, it wouldn't be a bad thing to sell ice cream. And the people selling the ice cream to a willing buyer wouldn't be committing any kind of aggression or crime in the real sense. They would just be doing something that's unpopular and there's been an edict against it.
But what if I have diabetes and I just keep eating ice cream? Shouldn't the government stop me from that?
Not at all. Because A, they can't. There's only you, you know? And that's the thing with like addicts, say, of alcohol or drugs. The court can order them to go to all the AA or NA meetings that the court wants to. But unless there's an internal change in the addict, they will just go and get their paper signed from whatever AA meeting and then go straight to the liquor store and buy themselves some black velvet or whatever it is, you know? And it's all about the inside of you. It's you making the decisions. You know, it's that old, another cliche, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't get him to drink. That's all up to the individual in the real sense and in the metaphysical sense. So whatever the government does is just bigger suggestions or force.
That was not product placement for Black Velvet, by the way.
Because, it wasn't.
You can't do liquor ads on radio, I don't think.
And, no affiliation.
Yeah. Because the government protects people from liquor by having, you know, I've heard a name for nanny laws that I really like. It's stop me from being stupid laws.
Yeah. Well, it's sad that people feel they need that. And that, in the end, is what needs to change. That's the real enemy of liberty. It's not the people making the edicts. It's the people that obey them, ask for them, and enable them.
But Nima, people are too stupid to run their own lives, so those stupid people should get together and use their smarts to vote for people that are smart enough to tell the stupid people what to do, right?
You just defeated your own argument. I mean, I knew you were doing it, but yeah.
I'm really tired of the persona. I'm going to stop right now before anyone
just
in our
stop,
new affiliate stations think. Okay, so it's a show where one guy pretends to be a stupid statist and the other guy debunks it. No, we don't always do that. And today we're going to talk about Cody Wilson, the printable gun guy, who's a really good friend of ours. And actually, he's going to be on the show later today. If he didn't get droned, I set up the interview and then I called him last night and I got that this number is temporarily out of service. It's really weird. Ooh. Some cell phones, when you leave the coverage area, have this message that sounds like he's been secreted away somewhere. And I hope Cody hasn't been secreted away, but he did get a cease and desist order from the Department of All Things Government Controlled. I don't know which department it was. Some government. Supposed to be good for you. But he's going to come on and talk about what's next for Cody Wilson today. So let's talk about printable guns and what's wrong with banning. I mean, printable guns seem like a threat. People can print guns. Oh, no. So the government bans them. But somehow that seems to be spreading the word and getting more downloads on Pirate Bay of all his stuff. How does that work? They just ban it. They just write it down and it's supposed to stop, Nima.
Yeah, that's magical thinking, and it's not real world thinking at all. And you had a genius way of putting it. Like, I think what you said was, it'll be like taking the pee out of a pool with a spoon.
Yes.
This is kind of the whole point. This is the whole point of printable guns, because obviously if you have enough smarts, you can just build a gun in your garage, theoretically. The whole point of the printable gun is it's a software file of a proven design, which means the government can't stop it. It's dispersed amongst a million people or 1,000 people or however many people have that on their hard drive and are connected to a BitTorrent file or a torrent at any given time and can seed it.
Yeah, pretty much the only way they could really shut down the internet totally is to turn off all the power, which, you know, they might do at some point, according to some people. But I'm hopeful, and I try not to go to the Armageddon view of everything. I'm pretty hopeful, right. And I think that the internet is a big part of it. And I'm not going to say it's the whole thing and it's going to save the world, but I remember this bumper sticker I saw in San Francisco a long time ago, like in 1996. It said, "Internet to replace government by 2020. And I think, because it was San Francisco, it was probably a commentary on voting. Like, well, everyone will just vote directly over the internet on everything, and everything will be perfect, which is really a recipe for disaster, as is voting. But I'm thinking now, like, maybe that person was really prescient and it is coming to fruition, to where, like, the internet can replace the government, to where, like, you know, you can get your guns, you can have your security service monitoring you and to do things that you want. If you don't want to carry a gun, you can hire somebody to do something over the internet to help you. And it's really changed things a lot, man. It's kind of what I wanted my whole life. Like, when I was 9 years old, I built my first radio transmitter. Because I wanted to reach the world, and it only reached like, you know, 100 yards or something. And I would walk around talking into it, like not knowing if anyone could listen. But the fact that someone could really turned me on. So that's kind of how I ended up here at age 49 on the radio with you. And the internet, the internet. That's
the internet is also, it's a great proof of concept that people can get things that are of no cost to them without having to have a overbearing state above them, or without having to have an income tax or something like that. I mean, look at Khan Academy. You can get literally a free education up through college, and you don't pay anything out of pocket because advertisers pay it and somebody set it up already because they were a smart entrepreneur.
Yeah, the internet can replace schools. All right.
And we'll be back. We're going to go to the market.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back, folks.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
Good first segment.
You guys know what you're doing.
I think we do. This is our 210th episode, actually. It's just our first on radio. Yep. My wife's coming in to shake my hand. I love it.
Took you long enough.
Baby. Took it on radio?
You're funny.
Hey, man, I was calling John 6 months ago. Took y'all long enough.
Oh, yeah, we're not exactly quick. Especially during that move. Oh, my God. Maybe so bold as to give you a suggestion?
What's that?
Yeah.
Be so bold as to give you a suggestion.
Go ahead.
10 seconds. Wait a minimum.
And we're back. Hello, folks. This is the Freedom Fiends. All right. I'm coming to you live from Austin, Texas. My name is Nima Vedati. On the other end, we've got Michael W. Dean. How you doing, Michael?
I'm good. I'm standing up, and I'm rocking the mic, and I'm looking out a window at squirrels frolicking.
As you do. Yes, you're rocking the mic, so you're mic controlling. Now, for folks who don't know, that means you're gripping the mic, and you got it up to your face. You're not sitting down and pontificating from
like
the dais.
Like some old man.
I'm an old man on talk radio. I'm sitting here. I'm.
You're a half breed, though, because you are looking at squirrels.
Those damn immigrants and liberals and they wanted we're small government. We just want to outlaw guns and spend lots of money on what? Drugs.
The government's bad at doing things, so we only want them to do the really important things.
Yes, yeah. That's what the real like uber conservatives and the uber liberals. They all think that, man. They're all progressive. And a little more progressive. I mean, really, it's like when conservatives blame liberals and say, man, they just want to pass stupid laws. Yeah, so do conservatives, man. I mean, you know, the real definition of conservative, I would say we're conservative in a way. I mean, because we want to conserve everything down to nothing, man, because every law that's added, think about lawmakers. Think about what a lawmaker does. What's a lawmaker do, Nima?
They make laws. It's in the name. And, you know, we're at the point. I mean, you've seen those John Stossel specials where he has the wheelbarrows of paper.
Stossel.
He brings out the
I like Stossel.
Stossel. Stossel. Stossel. Yeah. He's pretty good sometimes. But he pulls out the wheelbarrows of, like, thousands of laws and the tax code. And it's like
it works.
He has to have forklifts dump it in. And, A, how can you call it law if there's no possible way for most of the people, let alone all of the people in your society, to know every law? There's literally no way. You would have to sit there and read it, like, all day, every day for years. And then you wouldn't be able to catch up because there's new laws being made all the time. And it goes back to a point that I'm kind of bumping into and moving around and trying to think of in my head. But I think there's something to it, that law can't really be made by men. It can only be discovered, right? Men didn't invent the law of gravity. They discovered it. You know, Newton had an apple hit him on the head. And he's like, oh, okay. So that's how gravity works. And I think that social law or societal law works the same way. Doug Stanhope has a really great bit about not sin law, what do they call them? Vice laws, right? So the punishment for a vice is in the vice itself, right? If you're an alcoholic, you're punished on your own. You end up losing your wife and your family and your kids and your job, and you wake up and you feel like crap. That's the punishment. The punishment is natural to it itself. So it tells you within itself that it's not a good idea.
Or if you wake up in a hotel room with no money, surrounded by transmissions and crocodiles, that's fiend code. That's radio friendly fiend code there.
Yes,
you can go to our glossary at freedomfiends.com. That's
.com.
Freedom Foxtrot echo November Sierra.com. Now, what's a fiend, Nima? People have been asking
fiend.
What's a fiend?
Yes, people have been asking us that. All right, so that's street speak for fiend. You drop the D and you spell it with two E's because that's how it's spelled. And I've been surprised that so many people don't know what it is. But if you listen to even top 40, I used to say if you listen to rap or hip hop, but even top 40, like people will sing about fiends, like Will.i.am, who every 40-year-old white woman knows who that is. You got me fiending, baby. You know, I'm steaming. You got me fiending. So fiend is just something that means you really want it, right? You're somebody who really wants something. And we really want freedom. That's our main thing. So we're the freedom fiends.
You know, I was thinking about this printable gun design that Cody Wilson came up with. First of all, there are 3 million views of his release video about it in like 5 days. And it has 4,000 upvotes and 2,700 downvotes. Now, doesn't that mean democracy has spoken and these guns should be legal? Because a pretty good majority there said, yeah, I like this. Internet to replace government by 2020.
Well, see, it would only be democracy if the 4,000 upvotes could force the 27,000 downvotes.
Don't you just write things down and they happen? I mean, you know, things should happen. So people write them down and they happen. Isn't that how it works?
Well, I'm really glad you brought it up because that's the big difference, right? People like to say you vote with your dollar, but I don't even want to call it that. The way the market works is if you want something, you go and ask the provider of that something to give it to you, and you get it. And if you don't want something, you ignore it. It's not a problem for you. You won't ever have to have it forced upon you, and you won't ever have to be forced to pay for others to have it. Whereas democracy is the opposite of that, right? In democracy, if you vote or you get your representative to vote for something like higher taxes – then all of a sudden, you still have to pay the higher taxes, even if you voted no on it. It's ridiculous.
Worms. We'll explain worms on the Freedom Fiends when we come back. Worms.
There you go. Worms.
It means word.
You explained it already. Bad, Mike. Bad.
I didn't explain the origin.
Okay.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean.
Yeah.
They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
If you love pineapple as much as I do, I've got some great news for you.
I love pineapple.
I love this offer from Freeze Dry Guy.
We need to get an advertiser who sells atomic clocks.
Quality freeze dry
pineapple. That's a good idea.
A case of six number we'll call 10 lacrosse. Cans yielding 100.
Yeah.
We just use an internet service to sync them all to some atomic clock somewhere.
Yeah.
You can do that too. Yeah.
There's always time.gov.
Ew. There are very few actual services the government provides. I guess that's one. That and the don't call list. That's all the government should do. If that. We should mention the chat room when we come back, Nima.
Okay. We should also reboot the compass.
Okay. Let's do that now.
Hey, check this out. Okay. That's the time that we're synced to. Obviously, there's going to be some delay between you and us, but that's pretty close.
What is?
I put it in the stack.
Oh, okay. Let me read my atomic clock. It says 11:29:59:300. Okay. One second, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Are we synced?
9, 10.
With we're 11. Synced.
Okay. Okay. We have actual atomic radio clocks, so.
So we're just a little more progressive.
If all else fails, just go to time.gcnlive.com, and that'll be what we're synced to.
Okay. Cool.
If what fails, our atomic clocks?
Yeah, they could run out of batteries
if you lose it.
They can also lose the signal.
No, mine's powered on hot air, and I have it right in front of me. All right, let's reboot the compass, Nima.
I just did.
Forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson.
So said the slave owner.
In a book that explains our monetary system. For your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
It's time to check the chat room. There's some good stuff in there.
Economic collapse, I'm going to check that out.
Social unrest, natural disasters, government takeover, UN takeover. Are you ready?
Ready?
Ready? Get ready at the Social Prepper Trade Show in Dalton, Georgia, June 6th, 7th, and 8th. 3 massive days to learn self-reliance and emergency preparedness. Exhibitors ranging from survival, solar, power, food, protection, guns, ammo, disaster preparation products, hunting, and much more. Seminars by Dr. Wallach, Robert Henry, Raymond Blake Hogshead, Trish Deer, Sandy Hall, Rick Austin, Survivor Jane, and more of our nation's experts on survival and preparedness. Don't miss the Social Prepper Trade Show. June 6th through 8th, Dalton, Georgia. For discount tickets, prize raffle, and info, go to socialprepper.com. Enter code GCN for 50% online ticket discount purchase. The Social Prepper Trade Show, presented in part by GCN.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at herbalhealer.com. New customers,
and
welcome.
The squirrels
the
were merry.
Best place to save on vitamins.
When was Ben going to call in?
More right now. What Herbal segment? Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. CoQ10 with Hawthorne.
Let's see. Ben is calling in.
Super Fam and Super Male Plex. Plus, glucosamine chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag vitamin B, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale
top of the second hour.
Top of second, okay.
And then Cody's coming in, bottom of the second hour after the ad.
Correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online news.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius sent his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Okay, hang on.
Going across. Yo, you gotta keep your gat intact, homie. This is the Freedom Fiends. I am Nima Vidati, representing that ATX. But, you know, I represent other places, too. I've been all around the West. Haven't been much east of the Mississippi, except New Orleans, if that counts. What's going on, Michael?
I think I met you in Wyoming when the squirrels were merry. And you and I met at a church bake sale / gun show, I believe it was.
Was that it? And then you lost all your guns in a voting accident, unfortunately.
Yeah, we like to say that. That's one of our things. Because a lot of times on forums, when people say, like, well, what guns do you have? You know, the smart people will be like, guns? I don't have any guns. You know, because basically these days, I think you register your guns by posting pictures of them on Facebook. So the smart people always say things like, I lost all my guns in a boating accident.
Yeah.
And Sean Diwali, our torrent master, which is like a webmaster, but the Fiends are just a little more progressive. So we have a torrent master. We'll explain that later and how you can help, you, the listener, can help keep the Fiends drone proof by, using BitTorrent to share our episodes. Yes. You can go to our site at freedomfiends.com. That's freedom. Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com, and click on the Torrent Club link. So anyway, yeah.
They ask you about your guns when you go to the doctor's office now.
In Texas, even.
Well, I think it's a national thing. I don't know if it's related to Obamacare or if it's related to the executive orders that Obama made after the Sandy Hook tragedy. But I've experienced it, and I know people who've told me about it. They ask you, man, and it's kind of like, why? What business is that of yours? And who knows where that can go? People, especially liberals, like to say things like, Obama's not after your guns. He hasn't done anything against guns. He's not going to do anything against guns. And all this nonsense. Yeah,
are they still saying that? That's what they said in the first term, but I don't think they're saying anymore. But, you know,
they do still say he's not going to take your guns. They still say that. They say, hey, relax, guy.
Yeah, if we lose our guns, it's going to be incremental. And it's going to be, you lost your guns in a voting accident, which means you participated in the system of violence that is voting, where you live violently by proxy, by aggressing on other people, by telling someone to do it for you. Mm-hmm. And not saying you should do it yourself. You should never aggress yourself. But, you know, self-defense is a whole other issue, and we'll get into that at some point. But the thing with a voting accident, you know, I mean, Obamacare is really just kind of an extension and extrapolation of a lot of Bush's policies. Bush had the Medicare thing and the this
Medicare
and the that.
Part D.
And, you know, it's all kind of socialism in a big way, you know? How is it like socialism there, Nima Vidati?
Really,
explain that.
I define socialism as when the state or the government, I guess they're kind of interchangeable there. I don't like
we're
to
gonna ask
interchange
Ben Stone.
Them too often.
We're going to ask Ben Stone.
Which one does it? Yeah.
About that today.
Exactly. But it's basically when whatever structure you have over society gets to make the calls about any particular sphere of public life. So anytime, if you have a police system set up like we have now, it's a socialist police system, right? It's not privatized. There's not a company that's responsible to customers at all. Instead, it's a political system, a socialist system that's only accountable to the higher ups and, in some vague sense, voters, although voters are just a tiny, tiny bit of the input that goes into the socialist decision making.
Worms. Now explain worms again.
Oh, well, I'll let you explain worms because it was sort of your bag, man. Your bag of worms. So go ahead and let us know.
Yeah. Well, it's a way of saying word, you know, and saying word was kind of played out by about, 1984, 83 probably. But I used to play in his band with this guy named David Immergluck, who now plays in Counting Crows, and played in Cracker and played with John Hyatt, played with a bunch of good people. But he played my band Slish in San Francisco. Yeah, I used to live in San Francisco. And then I moved to LA, got married, and someone tried to break into our house. And I said, honey, we're buying a gun. And she said, that's admitting the world is a bad place. I don't want to do that. And I said, honey, sometimes the world is a bad place. And being the one male in California who wouldn't go, I'm sorry, dear. I went and bought a gun. I bought a gun. And, yeah, it was a shotgun. We named it Little Debbie after my wife, Deborah Jean.
Nice.
And Deborah Jean and I went to the range with Lil Debbie and stood next to gangbangers on either side of us. Gangbangers and cops. That's usually who's at the range in California. Mm. Both gangs. The gang and the cop
both
gang.
Both gangs, yeah.
And she shot Lil Debbie, and she's like, I love this. I want more of these. And then we got handguns. Yes. And then we realized that we couldn't leave the house with handguns in California without getting arrested for a year for just holding something to protect yourself. It is gross. It's ew. So I was doing some research on the internet, and I discovered something called Wyoming, and I discovered something called open carry. And I said, honey, we're moving to Wyoming. I woke her up like at 6 a.m. and said, honey, we're moving to Wyoming. And she said, okay. And then went back to bed. And 9 months later, we lived here and bought a house and sold our house in California and just moved here, packed up the covered wagon, strapped the cats to the bumper, and came out to the to the land of Wyoming. And I'm not going to paint Wyoming as too much of a libertarian paradise or lib pair, because first of all, it's not. I mean, you can carry a gun here concealed without a permit. That's really cool. But, you know, they'll throw you in prison for 80 years for a joint. And, you
know.
They'll
ban spice.
And they'll ban spice. And the small.
And they'll shut down the massage parlor.
And the small that the politicians probably went to, at least for research purposes. and the small government Republicans here want to tax the internet to save the brick and mortar horse and buggy whip stores down the street. When you can get horses and buggies and whips. Especially whips on the internet.
From Amazon.com.
Yeah.
Or wherever you like to shop. Yeah, totally, man.
Yeah. Yep. But so we moved here and we liked it. And that's really got nothing to do with the word worms, but I will tie it up so I don't sound like a crazy person and say,
let's do that.
Yeah, man. Worms. David Immergluck made that up. He plays guitar in the County Crows and used to come over to my house and hang out in my basement and play really loud, really beautiful guitar.
It's like Word, but a little more down to earth.
Worms. Exactly. There's a Fiends glossary. If any of you are lost, go to freedomfiends.com. Go to the glossary. There's also a chat room. You can go over on the right side. There's a pink. It's actually pink. Yeah, I know it's pink. There's a pink coffee cup that says Fiends Chat. And you can yell at us live on here. We're not taking calls today. We're going to start taking calls tomorrow. Or we're going to take calls tomorrow. Today we're not taking calls because we have two guests. One is Ben Stone of the Bad Quaker podcast, who is really cool, older, bearded, former kind of biker dude. Like, yeah, maybe even one of those kind of biker dudes. Who's just really mellow and really smart. And then we're having Cody Wilson. So I want to talk about Cody Wilson. Cody Wilson got... yeah, man. He made this printable gun thing. Now, I had something to do with Cody Wilson's, I don't know. I'm not going to take any credit for what he did, but I did the first interview with him he ever did, and he didn't want to do an interview. He was reluctant, and he was shy, and I spent an hour talking to him saying, you have something here that can change the world. You need to do any interview with anybody who will ask you. And he was like, okay, I suppose I could. And then I was like, all right, let me talk to you for an hour and like prep you on how to do interviews and how to be a media guy. And he's like, okay. And then we did the interview for an hour. And then like 3 weeks later, I'm like, Cody Wilson on Glenn Beck, Cody Wilson in the New York Times, Cody Wilson in the London Gun Grabber Weekly. You know, I mean, and yeah, man. Uh-huh. And you know, so I had some tiny part in that. And today we're going to have Cody on and ask him what he's doing next. And I'm going to try to steer him somewhere.
That should be fun. That'll be a great conversation. Well, one of the most important things about Cody's Wilson project isn't just
Cody's
the gun
Wilson
itself.
Project. The Cody's Wilson project.
Of his Wilson project. Yes, yes, like Wilson on the deserted island. No, Cody Wilson's project. There we go. I talked right.
The so Cody the Wilson projects in LibPair, there won't be public housing, but there'll be inexpensive housing called the Cody Wilson projects.
Right. That he printed up for you.
Yes. There you go.
One of the most important things about it is the public discourse about what the printable gun means. And it's a wonderful way of explaining to people the beauty of an open source distribution system that is putting a design on something like BitTorrent and having your own 3D printer.
Yeah,
it's the people.
Everyone's talking about that. Everyone's talking about that. Here's what I think. I think in LibPair, everything that's now named Wilson, like all the Wilson high schools, because Wilson was one of the greatest socialist Americans ever.
They'll just change the first name
to Cody. Yeah, instead of Woodrow Wilson. And everything that's like FDR, let's see, well, I don't know any cool Roosevelts, but you know, they'll just change all the FDR high schools and jails to, well, there won't be Cody Wilson jails, but yeah. So I think that the reason Cody finally got his cease and desist letter was because he named his gun the Liberator, which was an actual cheap gun that the American government made to drop behind enemy lines in Germany to the Jews and the non-Nazis in Germany.
And the idea, it also in France, in German occupied France?
Yeah, a few other places.
Yeah.
They never actually dropped a lot of them, though. They made a lot of them, and they cost like $3 each to make. And they were basically a one-shot 45 that came in a little box with pictographic directions and directions in a few different European languages and English. And 10 rounds of 45 ammo and a little dowel to remove the spent cartridge. You had to poke it out. And the idea was, you would walk up to a Nazi, ask him for a cigarette, and then shoot him in the back of the head. It said, like, shoot under the helmet in the base of the spine, the base of the head, and then take his rifle.
It had instructions on where to shoot?
Yes.
It was that detailed?
I've seen one. There's one in the, actually, the Cody Gun Museum. Not the Cody Wilson Gun Museum, but the Buffalo Bill Cody Gun Museum in Cody, Wyoming, which is an awesome place to go. I highly recommend it if you like guns. There's also four other museums in the same building. There's like a natural history one, Native American one, I think an oil boom one, you know, I don't know what it was. But yeah, man, it's check it out. I've seen Liberator. I mean, you can't buy one for $10,000. They're rare.
That rare.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is one that's like the gun and the packaging and, you know, the like rice paper that hasn't deteriorated yet with the directions. It's extremely rare. So
nice.
But Cody named his first fully printable gun the Liberator. And I think the government went, no, that's our name. And we're the only one that has.
it's a copyright issue.
Yeah. And actually, the department of the government that sent him the cease and desist was the State Department.
Yes.
But it was the part of the State Department that's in charge of like tracking and preventing and trying to prevent like arms trade internationally. So basically they were saying, we want a monopoly on who we get to arm this week and who we decide the good guys and the bad guys are each week.
Right. Which is so square, man. That's so square. It's
square.
Completely
statism
anti-
is square.
It is. And it's completely anti the whole point of Cody's project and the Liberator. The whole point is
Liberator.
Say anybody like, who wants one can get one.
Freestyle a rap about the Liberator.
No, I'm not ready for that. I'm going to do the Lil Wayne here and say, no, you got to pay for that. I don't freestyle. I'm paid.
My Liberator is fat, yo. Fat beats, yo, Nima.
Harsh blunts. Yes, we've got some harsh blunts here today.
All right.
Yes. Speaking of which, we will have Ben Stone on. So stay with us as we go to market.
Worms. I'm dancing.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Inoculation from indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com. Should decisions on what you put in your body be left up to people whose very job depends on keeping certain plants illegal? Or do you believe in freedom of ingestion? The Janome Project is a cannabis science community founded by a leading DNA scientist. Get the app by searching Jane-Ohm on iTunes. The app is only $1.99 and all proceeds go to furthering and disseminating scientific truth. You must be 17 or older to download the app. Search Janome on iTunes. That's Jane-Ohm.
Funky. Yeah, this is the Freedom Fiends live. Now, live Saturday and Sunday from noon to 2 p.m. Central Time off the GCN feed. And check your local listings for the exact time on your local affiliate. How are you doing today, Michael?
Yeah, and that's two different shows, two completely different shows. Someone was asking, is it like replay? No, it's a different show. I slept 4 hours last night, Nima, and I'm very, very, very caffeinated.
Jeez, you are, man. You sound like you're about to explode. The radio. You sound like the radio is about to explode from your energy. Too many ohms there, man.
What can we do about that?
We need an attenuator setting for Michael. It needs to be a button on the back of you. You just press.
Here, hang on. Hi. Okay. This is Mr. Michael Dean of the Freedom Fiends. How you doing there, Nima Vidotti?
Yes. Yeah. You needed to be sedated. Yeah. Bah, 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 bah.
Yeah.
That's much better. Okay. Now we can work that. A little bit of pacing there.
I feel better, man. Tyranny busting goodness. 50,000 watts of tyranny busting goodness straight to your ear hole. WZFG in Moorhead, Minnesota and Fargo, North Dakota.
Yes. Excellent. Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything about the movie Fargo because I expect that people who live there probably go, yeah, that ain't really how it is, man.
Yeah, yeah. It sucks when you hear the same thing every day from outsiders. So, shame on you, Michael.
You know what I thought was really kind of, big city person going, oh, I'm better than you people, which really just irks the hell out of me. And it's kind of like, that's kind of code. Like, the East Coast and the West Coast, they're kind of like the flyover states. Oh, you stupid people who need to be told what to do. And, you're primitive apes with guns, that's kind of what they think of us. So I in that thing with Cody Wilson, there was that, I don't know if it was the BBC, but it was a British film crew came over and they were like, and today we are talking to law student Cody Wilson, and we're here at a backwater in Texas. And I'm like, backwater? Okay, you're in a gun range. I don't see any water at all, man. Yeah. It looks pretty dry to me. Backwater. Go back to England. Yeah. Didn't we drive y'all out about 200 and some years ago? get out of our country. Get out of Texas. Although a lot of Texans are like, Texas is our country. Get America out of Texas.
Well, it was a great report in the sense that Cody got to talk. Am I like, get out of Texas? No, man.
No.
I don't subscribe to those made up lines and borders, man. I think a place is a place, and I love the land in Texas. I love the hill country. I love living in Austin. I love the weather. I love the people. I love the culture. But I will never love the state. I will never look at the state house or the Capitol, which is a beautiful building, but I will never look at it with reverence. I will look at it with, I can't believe it, man.
When one side or another tells me, if you don't love America, get out. I'm like, well, I love living in America. I just don't like what it always does to me. It's like Boston Tea Party said, 20 years ago, America is the healthiest patient in the cancer ward. And we're going to try to have him on at some point and see if he still believes that. Maybe there's like Denmark edging us out or something because. Well, hold on. Yeah?
Rewind selector. Rewind selector. Got to define the it there, right? The it, I think, is the American state, the American government, the folks in Washington, D.C. I don't like what that it does to the country. But that is separate from the people. That is separate from your average Joe 6-pack or average Joe 12-pack. Those people should be separate, and I think of them as separate. So I don't like what the state and the government does. In America. But I do love Merca in the sense of, I love the people. I love the culture. I love living here kind of a thing.
I don't want to get out. I'm not the one that's, well, anyway, what is that line from Office Space? Now, I'm not, he should change his name. He's the one that isn't good.
He's the one that's, yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to get out. I want to stay right where I am and have, U.S. out of my uterus. So there.
There you go. Yeah.
Get out my behind.
Just leave us alone and everything will be okay.
Where
and that's kind of the thing with
Buffalo Roam.
Yeah, there you go. That's kind of the thing with the flyover country dichotomy too, the West Coast and the East Coast is fine. If you want to feel like you're better and smell your own flatulence and all that kind of stuff that you like to do, do it by all means. That's well within your rights. Just don't cross the line where you tell other people what to do. That is the most important line.
There's only two kinds of people in this world. Those who want to aggress on others and those who want freedom and want to be left alone.
Exactly.
We are the latter here on the Freedom Fiends.
And to explain that with his genius dropping of science, we'll have Ben Stone coming up next we get back from the market.
All right. First, I apologize. I've been super swamped today, so I didn't have the delay built as fast as I usually would.
Okay. Did we cuss?
No.
No.
Oh.
And then I'm starting to mix up who's who. So which one of you is Nima?
I'm the white guy. He's the brown guy. Right. Can't
you're
you tell?
A little thicker than before.
Me, Michael, is a little thicker. I should be less thick.
If you can, but it's hard to tell, Nima's a little thin, I think.
Okay. Hang on. Let me do me first. Do me. Okay. So I'm a little less thick now. How's this? Is this better? This is Michael talking.
I'll have to hear it during the segment. And this last bumper is
thinner
a minute long.
This segment what?
This last bumper, the close,
uh-huh,
is a minute long, so you can take your time finishing up your thought and getting out.
Oh.
Ah,
so we got out before we had to?
Well, yeah. I mean, you got out when you could. I mean, when you wanted to. But I'm just saying in the future, don't be in a rush for the last one.
Okay.
Ah.
So you can really drag it on.
You mean the music one, right?
Yeah, they're all 30 except for that last one.
Ah, okay. Good to know.
Cool. I think they're 30. Yeah, they're all 30. Well, the 20 and then the 10. And then the last one's just a minute of music.
And we're getting that feedback in the chat room, too. Bad Quaker says the music is stuck on, but that's just because it's longer. Long outro, says Rico. They're just saying that the music is continuing even though we stopped talking.
Yeah. And they're probably 10, 20 seconds behind what we're hearing. So.
Right. Okay, so we can be longer on the end of every hour.
On the close, especially if you have like a guest, you can.
Yeah, I wrote it on my show clock. One minute
I'm gonna
bumper.
Write that down too. Let me grab a Sharpie here.
Cool. I'm gonna put out some little fires here, and then I might give you to Dan.
All right.
He's a nice guy.
My neighbor's mowing his lawn. I'll be right back, Nima. You want to stay on for Dan, or are you going to go do something?
What's
sure,
more
I'll
amazing than a Swiss Army knife?
You don't need to talk to him. He'll just replace me.
Okay.
You guys clearly don't need...
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
About $1.8 billion in federal money now will go to Superstorm Sandy repairs for New York City Housing and Urban Development Secretary Sean
Nima.
Donovan made the
announcement. Yeah, did you call
yesterday.
Cody?
For a family yeah, who's been I talked to him.
With relatives.
Okay, good.
Because
do we have a new engineer on?
Whether it was
I'm not sure. Nobody has said anything. But the other guy said that we wouldn't have to talk to him. He could just take up the reins.
Okay. Cody's going to be at a gun range when he does his interview. It's that private one that's in the...
Move over, organic.
But we might hear shooting in the background.
Okay. I think Dan's there telling us that we got Ben on the line.
Hey, Dan.
How's it going?
Hi, this is Michael Dean, and the other guy's Nima Vidati. Yeah, Nima.
Yes.
Nima.
How's it going?
You got Ben there, huh?
It's going all right.
Okay. I talked Ben's to Cody Wilson, the guy that's going to come on, that you're going to call, please, at the bottom of the hour, at 1:30. Okay. He's on his way to a gun range. He's doing a documentary film about his printable gun, so hopefully we can get him. He's out in the sticks, but I got him on the phone in the car. You've had Cody on before, right, on Alex Jones? Did he call through you guys? Or?
I've never done the Alex Jones show.
Okay. All right, we're coming back in like 20, so get ready, Michael.
Yep.
...menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army. Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's
Worms.
Time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
All right, this is Freedom Fiends Live. It is Saturday, May 11th, and we are back. We are actually going to have one of our favorite people in the world, Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. He's coming up right now to explain the difference between the state and the government and why that distinction is oh so important. Do we have you on there, Ben?
Hey, I'm here, Nima. It's great to talk to you.
Hey.
Oh, wonderful to talk to you. So, Ben, go ahead and just give us a quick wrap, your most succinct definition of the state and the government and what the difference is.
Okay, well, first off, we have the two words, state and government. And in most people's language, most people's day-to-day use of the language, they mean the same thing pretty much. I mean, there's a very, very slight difference between the two. So when I was trying to come up with a way to explain this concept that I had in my mind, this was a couple of years ago, I decided to just steal the word state and give it a better definition than what it currently had. Because what's the use of having two words that mean the same thing in your language? So the way I define government is the government is all those people in uniform, all those people in fancy suits in Washington, D.C., or in separate state capitals all around, all those, you know, all the guys that the men and women who shuffle paperwork in the layers and layers of bureaucracy and, you know, sludge up all the functioning of government. That's all government. Along with their statues and their, you know, their temples in Washington, D.C. with their holy columns and everything. All of that is government. But there's something that causes people to think that all of that stuff is legitimate, that it actually has authority and it has power. And that concept, that belief, that mythology that all of government is good and that it functions well and that it does right, you know, the right things and it provides us good things, that, I believe, is the state. It's a mythology. It's a religion. It really is a religion that people believe when they assume that some people on Earth have special rights and privileges and authority that others don't have, so that these people in government, just because they're in government, they can do things that the rest of us are not allowed to do, like carry certain types of self-defense machines, mechanisms, I should say, or, you know, drive in certain ways or go certain places. Some people can do that, some people can't. So the belief that that's legitimate, I call the state. And all those yes. people who function in that, I call the government.
Yeah.
And why that's so important to me, or at least in my reading of your thoughts on it, is say Washington, D.C. ceased to exist tomorrow. Like there was that magic Murray Rothbard button that somebody pressed. Somebody pressed that button and D.C. ceases to exist.
And we're talking peaceful here. We're talking nothing blew it off the map. If it just decided to just not come into work ever again and they closed everything permanently like they threatened to do when they run out of money being printed that week. But if it just stopped being, the state would still exist for a month or two, wouldn't it? The collective hallucination of horizontal enforcement, the religion in people's minds that keep it going.
Yeah, I think because the state would still exist, and the state is also, in a sense, looking at it from an economic point of view, from a market point of view, there's a desire for the government. So that desire for the government is part of this mythology of the state. So because there's a desire for government, people would just make a new one. So, you know, a lot of theorists, political theorists who imagine a perfect world with no government at all to tell us what to do and everything, that's nice, it's good to think about, but realize if, like Nima was saying there, if you could just push a button and everybody in government quit and went home and found a productive job where they actually did something, then it would just be a couple days and there'd be another government because there's a market demand for government.
And that's the problem.
People want their...
That's the problem with revolutions is that they always, you know, throw out a bunch of tyrants and then get a bunch of new tyrants. And for a little while, it might be better, but it's not really the way to go. And you talk in your site, in your podcasts on badquaker.com. That's BADQUAKER.com. You talk about that, and you also talk about how I want to know about two more things. One is, what's your solution, which, you know, I know and Nima knows, is probably just eliminating the desire for government. And that's a big education job, which we're doing 24/7. And it's what gets us up really early in the morning, drinking lots of coffee. The other thing I want to know is about your thing about how worshiping the government is kicking God off the throne and it's ungodly.
Ooh. This is, only a three-hour show? I'm not sure if we can do that whole thing. But
it's a 13-minute interview.
From a theological point of view, and you might consider, you know, in your own personal beliefs, you might think of different types of religion or whatever, but pretty much any theological view places God or whatever deity that, you know, however you want to use the terminology, as the primary lawgiver of humanity. But when man decides for himself that he can make his own laws, that's kind of the act of snatching the fruit off of the tree of good and evil and deciding for yourself that you have the wisdom and you have the knowledge to decide what is good and what is evil. And you are literally kicking God off the throne and bringing man up to that point of saying man is the lawgiver and not God. And therefore, we will follow man's laws, and we will ignore the laws of God. And I don't mean the laws of God like go to church every Sunday or whatever. I mean the laws of God like, what did Jesus say? He said, don't harm each other. He said, do to other people what you would have them do to you. That's the laws of God.
The way I read that and the way I've been saying it sort of lately, let me know what you think about this, is that man really can't make law like lawmakers pretend to do, but they can discover or describe law. Like you can look at murder and describe the reasons why that is unlawful and explain it that way, but it's not you, the man, that made it unlawful. It's just you, the man, that's describing why nature or God says it's unlawful or it's self-evident that it's unlawful.
Yeah, that's exactly true. And that was actually, basically, that was the Western way of thinking. And I'm talking about Europe and, you know, when I'm talking about the West, That was the Western way of thinking, the Western cultural way of thinking, all the way up until about 1500, when this shifted and this idea began to pollute Western culture that man could make up his own law. Now, of course, there were tyrants making up law prior to that, but as far as what the general population believed, it was believed that law was a process of discovery. How does law, existing law, apply to this situation? How does law apply to that situation? Not, we need a new law, you know, government needs to give us a new law. It wasn't that. It was, how does law apply in this situation? And really, when you boil it all the way down, you have what we refer to as the zero aggression principle or the non-aggression principle and the right of property. And if you have the right of property and non-aggression, then you have the entirety of natural law wrapped up in that. You have a right to property, and you have no right to aggress on anyone else.
Worms.
Excellent.
That's good, man.
And, you know, one of the ways I've been thinking about that lately, too, is that's really just the other side of the coin of freedom. Sometimes people like to say something to the effect of, with freedom comes great responsibility, but they never really explain why, and it's never really a cause and effect kind of a thing. It's just like, well, it just because. If you have freedom, you have to be a responsible person. But the way I've been looking at it lately is it's logically impossible to have a state of freedom and at the same time have a state where people are regularly and routinely, as a societal rule, being aggressed against. Because if I get to choose my own path and I have that freedom, then I have the state of freedom. But if somebody else is calling the shots, then by definition, I don't get to have that freedom because they're the ones calling the shots.
Yeah, exactly.
Why should we beware of people who say things like, you know, something I've noticed in my life is people that a lot of people who've said to me or said, With great responsibility, no, what is it? Whatever you just said. With freedom comes responsibility, whatever dad said or to the coach or the judge. People who say that often say that when they're trying to take something away from you or make you do something that there's no moral reason you have to do. No aggression is being violated by you not doing it. Why do people use that kind of language of freedom and liberty and responsibility to impose non-freedom on you and make you responsible for things that are their problem?
Well, I could say it in a rude way and say that if a thief is going to steal from you, but he doesn't have the guts to pull a knife or a gun on you, then he's going to steal from you by using tricky words.
By using his tongue better than a $20. Anyway, so, Ben Quaker of Bad Quaker, well, Ben Stone of the Bad Quaker podcast, which is at BADQUAKER, that's Bravo, Alpha, Delta, Quebec. Come on, man. I know that stuff. But anyway, yeah, bad Quaker.
Go look at the oatmeal in your pantry and you'll learn how to spell Quaker.
I don't have oatmeal.
And we have a forum.
Yeah, we have a forum. Yep, it's a good forum. And Ben has actually been a really big influence on me. I kind of look at you like, I say you're my liberty sponsor, which doesn't mean you give me money to do liberty. It means kind of the same way that someone in AA who's, you know, kind of, maybe not, I'm not newly liberty, but, you know, more newly sober. You've been like this for about 180 years, and I've only been like this for about 5 years. So you're my liberty sponsor. You know, I call you up in the middle of the night, and I say, you know, instead of saying, I'm going to drink, I'm going to drive, I say, Ben, I'm going to vote. Talk me out of it. And why would you talk someone out of voting? What's wrong with voting? Shouldn't everyone vote, Ben? It's the right thing to do.
Well, again, we only have so long here on our show, but any time that you use
our show. I like you to say that. Show. That's a good Freudian slip, man, because you are an honorary fiend. You're like my DJ, totally. My wife, is the fiend behind the scene. But you're the fourth fiend, you know? It's kind of like all the people that they claimed were the fifth Beatle. You're the fourth fiend, man. So go ahead with our show, our collective show. Yeah.
Well, government is very limited on what it can do. And every act of government is financed by money that they take from somebody else. They take that without consent. It's not a voluntary exchange. So that means they stole it. So everything government does, it does with stolen money. Like every light bulb that is lit in every Capitol building. So if you vote, what you're doing is you're petitioning the government to act on your behalf. That's what a vote is. A vote is an expression of your desires to government. So in that sense, it's very much like prayer. Prayer is a personal, private petition to God And that's what a vote is. A vote is a personal, private petition to government to act on your behalf. So you're asking the government to aggress on your behalf.
And this is the Freedom Fiends radio show, and that was Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker podcast at badquaker.com. Thanks for coming on, Ben, and we'll have you on again sometime soon.
Thank you.
Worms.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean.
Excellent timing, Michael.
So much truth, it hurts.
Making the right decisions
Ben was,
is a challenge.
Ben was great,
to
man. That was perfect.
Ben
was
on. See economic growth,
Ben's gone, huh?
Recession, or at worst, depression.
Yeah. Hi, Teddy. Yeah, they kill resources. That.
All right. All I'm going to go pee-pee kitty, and then we'll come back and we'll have Cody on.
Ourselves in a move towards actually, we have one more segment. Sans
right,
Cody.
Right. We'll talk about how great Ben is and what else. What else we can talk about?
The government overextends itself and spends beyond its means. Many investors are turning
and the squirrels were married. And the squirrels were married. The problem with Ben. Banning. I want to talk about the problem with banning.
Costs, okay.
And I'll jump in on it.
Full color illustrations, weights and measures. The book is free and can
yeah.
be yours by
Pee-pee
calling
Kitty.
800-686.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics and I'm all out of passive aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah.
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to Lolat?
Duh.
Freedom Fiends to the rescue. The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
All right, the Freedom Fiends are back. This is the Freedom Fiends Live. It is May 11th, Saturday, and that was a wonderful segment with Ben. Man,
yeah.
He was really on. That was like a whole Ben Stone podcast compressed into one beautiful segment for your ear holes. It was beautiful.
Yeah. Yep, I dug it. And I wasn't being mean when I called him out on saying our show, Ben, because really there's so much overlap between the Fiends and the Bad Quakers. And he comes, I mean, he's filled in for you four or five times when you had family obligations. He's been interviewed on the Gumbo, my interview cast. We've been on his show, and he's really influenced us a lot, and he really kind of is my Liberty sponsor. I call him up, I talk to him about three times a week for about an hour at a time. Sometimes I just call him up and say, hey, Ben, how's it going? And he mellows me out, too. He's kind of like
Jay-Z, Kanye, and forgot the third one. There was a third one there I was trying to put in.
I don't know what that is.
Totally, man. And, I like the way you put it, too, that Ben is the professor there at Liberty College, and we're Beavis and Butthead in the class cutting up in the back.
Yeah. So the squirrels were married, and the squirrels were merry. The squirrels are merry here in Wyoming.
The thing I love about Ben is he's so brave and he's so smart that he doesn't just regurgitate something that Rothbard said. He'll call out Rothbard and be like, well, Rothbard, you're great and you did a lot of great groundwork here, but you know, you're wrong on this point and you're wrong on that point, and here's why. And then he puts forth an argument that completely makes the whole concept of liberty make way more sense. And it's a beautiful thing. And one of the things I like to do is point out these people who are, you know, audio personalities, maybe we should call them, because there's such an overlap now between podcasting, radio, and different media distribution channels. But it's not just written things that you can point to in a scholarly way and be like, well, such and such said, or but you can actually point to people whose job it is to put that out verbally through audio and point to them and say, well, Ben Stone said, you know, and like quoting somebody MLA style in your term paper.
If you meet the Buddha in the road, make fun of him and tell him why he's wrong. You know, they used to say, if you meet the Buddha in the road, kill him, which basically means, you know, if someone presents themselves as the ultimate authority, they are wrong. And we're not saying kill anybody, but we're saying if you meet the Buddha in the road and you see something that's wrong, you know, tell him why he's wrong. And it's kind of interesting what you said about now we can quote people that we know. We don't have to quote old dead French guys about about liberty or old dead slave owners from Virginia. We can actually quote people that we can call up on the phone, and it's a beautiful time to be alive because of that for liberty. And
it really
you
is.
Know, it's one really kind of funny thing about that is this guy Hans Hermann Hoppe, who is commonly quoted in liberty circles. And I thought he was like some dead Austrian guy who'd been dead for 100 years. Yeah, yeah. And then I like, you know, saw he has a website and a blog that he updated last week. And I'm like, oh,
right.
But I've heard several people talk about him in hushed tones as if he's some dead French guy. But no, he's a professor in, I don't know, somewhere. And he's a really smart guy and he's got a blog and he updates it. So apparently he's not dead.
I'm so glad I'm not the only one that made that mistake. Cause maybe it's the name.
Did you?
Yeah, I did too, man.
I did. That's funny.
I thought he was somebody that lived a century ago and had written some great treatises. And, you know, his words are really great. And the thing, when people quote him, I'm like, yeah, right on, Hoppe. He does, I forget the name of the book, but it's a great explanation of almost sort of Ben Stone's thing. Well, no, it's different. But it's kind of like how, you know, even a monarchy is better in the sense of social organization than a democracy. I think he calls it, it's democracy the god that failed. And it's not to say, oh, I'm a monarchist and we should have a king again. But what he's trying to say is that democracy is flawed, even when you compare it against what it was a reaction to, which was a monarchy. And his argument is basically that, you know, when it was a monarchic system, the monarch or the leader, he had a sense of ownership and he wanted to pass down the country to his kids, and he wanted them to pass it on to their kids. And it was sort of a, well, this is ours. They took that sense of ownership. And because of that, they had a long-term view of what should happen. They weren't trying to do the rich quick scheme or get reelected in the next 4 years or 2 years. It wasn't about lying to the current voting populace.
They cared about their cattle. They wanted their cattle to be some their people, to be someone they could pass on to their son. Whereas, you know, I mean, we're suffering right now from stuff politicians did 20 and 40 and 60 years ago who were in office for 4 years and promised away so much of the future to get elected for those 4 years.
Exactly.
Whereas, you know, a monarch might actually want those tax cattle to stick around for a while. And speaking of people who are great thinkers and doers who are still alive, coming up in the next segment, we're going to have Cody Wilson, the printable gun guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we don't subscribe to the great man theory. We don't like that. And that's one of the things Ben takes apart a lot is the great man theory. But we'll come back with a good man, Cody Wilson, after we go to the market.
Excellent. Yeah, so please stick around. It's going to be great radio.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
All right, and we are back with Freedom Fiends Live. It is Saturday, May 11th, and Michael Dean is here with us. Michael W. Dean, I should
say.
He's got a special guest, don't you, Michael?
Special. Hey, Cody Wilson, we have you on the line?
Yeah, I'm on the line.
Hey, man. Good. Are you calling from a rural backwater in Texas, as the British press called it?
Hey, she asked me, she's like, can I say backwater? Does that mean, is that okay? I was like, no, sure. It's like taken badly over here.
Yes, can I say limey tart? Is that okay? Yeah, so so
exactly.
you invented the fully printable gun. How's that working out for you?
Well, you know, nothing but trouble, of course, because, you know, there's nothing but heresy and being burned at the stake involved whenever you do something without the state's permission or approval. Mm.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think you've done pretty amazing for yourself. You're a college student. Are you still a college student? Are you still going to classes?
You know, I've just finished this semester, but I got to be honest with you, man. After pissing off all these world governments, I just don't feel like going back into a classroom.
Yeah.
I think I'm done.
Yeah, well
one thing,
you know,
I wanted to know was
Bill Gates dropped out of Harvard. Go ahead, Nima.
How did your colleagues treat you? I mean, were you known as who you were, the printable gun guy there when you were attending classes? I mean, were there people asking you legal questions? And because you were going to law school at University of Texas, I think. What was the reception to what you were doing there?
Well, I mean, most law students are statists and, like, pretty hard, like, committed statists and leftists. They believe in, like, sucking up the power and wielding those levers and everything. So there was, like, nothing but initially derision and then increasingly fear and bewilderment at watching it happen.
Right.
Yeah. So we had a phone call on the talk on the phones the other night. We talked a bit. We talked before you started doing interviews, and I kind of talked you into doing interviews because you were reluctant about it. And I gave you a pep talk and some Liberty sponsor stuff, Big Brother stuff. And then I was amazed. Like, you know, I was then like 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, you're in all these high profile stuff. And I think you've taken it as far as I would dare take it. I mean, you know, when other college students are worried about like getting girls and getting drunk and maybe getting grades, probably in that order, you know, you have congressmen riding your coattails. I think mission accomplished, man, and not in the Bush sense, but in the real sense. Are you going to keep doing it and risk going to jail? Or are you going to be like the Sex Pistols who, you know, they didn't sell that many records, but everyone who bought a record by the Sex Pistols started a band and it created punk rock? You know, are you going to be the Rolling Stones and keep doing the same record over and over? Or are you going to be David Bowie and Brian Eno, where everything you do invents a new genre of something? That's what I would say would be good.
This isn't a loaded question at all, is it? There's no secret game in here whatsoever. Yeah, well, one, listen, this project does not hurt getting girls. I'll just put that out there.
Really?
Number two, it basically, you know, believe me, like the whole like, like I don't, we don't have to go.
Yeah, but our
show another time, we'll talk about that one.
Are any of them government plants, do you think? Do you think they're government plants trying to, you know, sleep their way to, no? Okay.
Surely not. Although, I mean, that's to pay too much of a compliment to myself. But man, in the end, basically it's, yeah, I think we took this about as far as we reasonably could take it. But I'm still waiting to see what this Department of Defense Trade Controls wants to kind of do. It's not necessarily so that my organization is dead. And if it can live on in any way, you know, I'm interested in finding that out. But yeah, it's likely that we're going to have to stop.
So what are printable gun groupies like? What kind of people are they?
It's not like that, really. It's kind of like there's the horror of what's going on. This is so alien to my experience, and guns are scary, and this guy's scary, and what is he about? And everyone wants to live out this fantasy of like, oh my God, I'm being pulled towards some monster. You know, they're living out their own kind of adventure, voyeuristically.
Do you mind when I point out that you were really shy when I first met you, and then all of a sudden this brought something out in you, and now you're like Mr. Studley rock and roll dude?
I'm sure some of that's true, but I mean, you know, you didn't quite know me in the beginning. I think some of this was always there, but yeah, definitely this is now I've become accustomed to all this public criticism, and I don't know, I kind of feed off of it.
Yeah, little Cody, I remember him when. I'm kind of kidding.
Hey,
man.
I appreciate the coaching and everything. I mean, one, there was still the thought that I could get this done kind of under the radar, just with a little bit of money online and not too much attention. But once people started messing with me, corporations and governments just started giving us a hard time. We couldn't help but be noticed. And so then we had to do it in the public eye, the international spotlight.
What's the downside of that kind of fame other than the government attention? Like, do you have any free time, or do you just constantly have people barraging you, wanting to do stuff with you and to you?
Yeah. At this point, there's no free time at all. I know that it'll die back down. I've kind of learned how media waves work or watched them happen. And but yeah, at the moment, and really for the past 2 months, I've really had no time to do anything besides just get into trouble late at night and stuff. I mean, it's just a constant physical strain, mental strain, so much regulatory stuff, paperwork. And I mean, like, yeah, they got me on this one for now. But even so, I thought we had a theory for it. So it's like we're going to have to go to court, or we're going to have to be interviewed to test our own theory of it. I mean, it's kind of the criticism of regulation in the first place. So like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. It doesn't matter what you do. If they decide that they have a problem with it, they're going to give you trouble.
What do your parents think of you being demonized by U.S. congressmen? I would love, my dad would love that. What do your parents think of that?
Yeah. I think my dad liked it too. With this Steve Israel guy, like no one knew who this guy was. No one had any respect for this guy. And you are kind of right. It's like this project gave him a better profile. He helped insert himself into the news by going after it. And that's smart on his part, but you're right. It's like, we're helping politicians like make their names. This is a big deal.
Yeah. You're not helping them. They're trying to attach their name to you 'cause you're cool. You know, I look at it that way.
Yeah. Well, they approach it in a very puritanistic. I mean, like, I don't see how this really benefits them other than with the noblesse oblige kind of journalistic crowd. I mean, all the young people, like, hate these people for attaching themselves to the project like this. So good. I mean, I'm hoping at some point we're driving a wedge between, you know, the internet culture and the politicians even greater. I mean, I think that's what happened after the DDTC made us take our stuff down. Reddit and the Pirate Bay and all these people were like, nah, you know what? They're making us choose between, like, our ambivalence about guns and the internet. So we're going to choose the internet and embrace guns. And that's great. That's an important moment in online culture.
Do you think that government is like a vestigial organ, like, you know, those things that they can remove, like tonsils and appendix? Do you think it'll eventually wither and fade? Or do you think it'll grow to this monster that's just, like, in your brain, like, wired into your brain?
Yeah, I think it will keep growing. And, yeah, it will try to introduce those kinds of administrative strategies which rely on, like, your body and features of your body to, like, control you. But I think if people can start, like, using things like Bitcoin and attacking, really getting at the root of things, which is in the commercial realm, yeah, this thing will start to wither on the vine. So a little bit of both, to be honest. And maybe, in fact, kind of how you see how the governments enforce, what do you call them, file sharing these days. So it happens all the time. Everyone file shares, but every now and then the government responds extremely violently against one person, extremely capriciously. So it'll be more of that. States will become more reactionary and, like, hyper-violent. But at the same time, less effective.
One of the most important parts about your whole project, I think, has been making that point that you can bypass all these government or state structures and people can end up getting what they want regardless of what the state does or what the state bans. Do you think you've made that point effectively? And have you convinced anybody, like, say, some of these British reporters or anybody that has looked at this and been scared of it and said, oh, my God, people shouldn't have guns at all, let alone printable ones? Do you think you've convinced anybody?
Yes, I do. I think the message has been, it started working around, like, January and February, and people were emailing me all the time. They're like, oh, I get what this is about now. I get it. And then definitely now after the Liberator, people overcame completely their skepticism about the motivations and intentions of the project and the technical skepticisms. And they saw, oh my God, it's about this idea that one day you'll just be able to bypass institutions. I see, I get it. And people emailed me and they said, you know, look, my opinions about guns informed, you know, my opinion about this issue. But now I realize it, like, you're making it about the freedom of information and the control of, like, systems themselves in the future. And, like, I understand. I'm seeing a lot of that.
Do you think they finally came after you now because you used the word Liberator, which was their name for the cheap gun?
No. I think the Department of State came after us because of international pressure. I know Australia's been pressuring the feds to go after us for a couple months. So this could have been a while in the making. The UK, I'm sure, was quite displeased. Many states, probably China as well. I'm sure there was extreme diplomatic pressure, basically them saying, look, you stop this.
That's square. That's so square, man. Governments are so square, all of them.
Well, and because they're square, they should be bypassed. Cody, is there any other things on the table, or have you been brainstorming about other ways to prove that this isn't just about guns, that it's mostly about bypassing institutions for personal freedom? Have you thought of any other ways to do that, or wonderful projects like the printable gun that will make the same point?
Yeah, actually, well, before, so I might be stuck in the legal process for a while, but we had actually proposed DefCat.com in March of this year, and DefCat.com was to be reimagined as a clearinghouse for, like, all 3D printable data. And yes, I'm using the 3D printer again as a tool here, but this time it was to criticize the regime of intellectual property itself. It helped separate people between the idea that, like, well, I have property rights and I have rights and ideas. And we were going to start saying, no, look at how replicable and imitative this machine allows things to be. How could you possibly have rights in ideas and designs? I think the 3D printer helps do that. And then, of course, like, attaching ourselves to a Bitcoin project, I think, is the ultimate way of teaching this again.
Right.
Two follow-up questions in the last minute and a half here. Will you come back in a couple months on The Fiends?
Oh, of course, yeah. When you invite me, I'll come on.
Cool. All right, you got 1 minute. Talk about music. What's cool? What do you like? What's new to you right now?
I've listened to that new James Blake album he put out last month. But basically, I've been auditing a lot of classical music because the Defense Distributed soundtrack is important for all the videos we put out. I'm always trying to, like, insert or rehabilitate songs that I've liked from my childhood or from when I was growing up. but to like put a kind of radical spin on them, and then also associate our radicalism with something a bit more intelligent and educated. You know, it's important that you don't hear like Metallica when we shoot the guns on the videos. It's important that you hear like Vojak or, you know, like Arlo Part or Philip Glass or something.
That's awesome.
What about celloists playing Metallica like Apocalyptica?
Yeah.
No? All right.
All right,
well,
Cody.
Thank you
thanks,
so
man.
Much, Cody.
Take care.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Keep your plastic powder warm. Dry. Texan.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
For centuries, silver has been used as a power.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Fiends.
And we are back for our final segment of Freedom Fiends Live. It is Saturday, May 11th, and it has been a wonderful show. I guess we'll do a little bit of review, sort of wrap up some of the concepts here
Fiends
today.
Fiends Week in Review.
Week in Review.
Because, you know, we do come on right after Rush's Week in Review in North Dakota.
Well, I like to think of it as Yo Gabba Gabba, where at the end of the show, they do a medley with all the songs and explain what they explained. So, I guess the first point is printable guns are about so much more than printing guns.
Printable
or guns themselves.
Good. Printable,
yeah, printable guns,
good.
Yes. Government bad. Yeah. And that's really it, right? Is the printable gun is about personal freedom bypassing being greater than state institutions or top-down institutions, and the fact that this is an empowering thing, and it proves the concept that you can be a free man. You can be a free man regardless of what the state says. You can just do it. And Cody is an amazing person, and I'm so glad that he has taken this project to its limits and proven this point wonderfully and in real life. And then I guess the other big point is, you know, I said principal guns good, government bad, but so much more than that too. Like Ben explained to all of us, there's a difference between the state and the government. And the state is the real enemy, because the state is what exists in the minds of the populace. The state is the obedience. And without the obedience, the tyrants don't have a leg to stand on.
Yeah, our only solution that we have that's ethical is education. Educating as many people as possible to reduce the demand for government. You know, there's that George, that Norquist guy, Grover Norquist, says he wants to reduce the size of government until he can drown it in a bathtub. We want to reduce the need and demand for government to the point where it drowns itself in the bathtub out of sadness. Nobody loves me anymore.
Yes, exactly. But the other thing there is reducing the market for government, you know, or for the market for the state. Part of that is what Cody Wilson's doing. Part of that is having these horizontal organizations and institutions and methods of getting goods and services and information, having that as an alternative. So people will say, why do I need to ask the state? Why do I need to get state approval? I can just go get the torrent file of the printable gun. I can just go do this and this. I can just use Bitcoin and I can bypass the IRS completely. All of these horizontal structures, not only do they prove the point that we don't need the government, but by doing so, they reduce the demand, because now there's a competitor in the market for all these things that people used to only be able to think of the government as providing. You know, that old joke about in the Soviet Union, the lady standing in the bread line saying, well, in America, they don't even have bread lines. Well, that's because there are thousands of competitors that will sell you bread. And that's the point here is there needs to be thousands of people horizontally working together to provide the things that you need. That's the market. And that is the opposite of the state. And if you can show that that works and it works well, then people will more and more start to ignore the state.
Yeah, worms. I'm stealing time from the fiends. I'm doing stuff. I'm multitasking with about 72 windows open going.
You're stealing time from the fiends for the fiends.
Exactly.
Such a great show. We're going to go ahead and try to pimp this one extra hard and get it out there because, like you said, the education aspect is the big thing. That's the most important arrow in the quiver. And part of that is making it fly true and straight to the target. And that can be done through social media and networking and marketing. And that's what Michael's working on right now. And I thank you for your service, Michael.
Yeah. I just sent you something via encrypted off-the-record messenger, which then you're going to post on the Facebooks, which is probably owned by the government, or at least it's so infiltrated by the government that, you know, you register your guns these days by posting pictures of them on Facebook, which is why I'm not on Facebook. I'm really, it's very problematic that every post has a report this link. You know, when you say things that you say things that normal people would say to each other, and then somebody reports it, and then someone at Facebook goes, alert the authorities, call the bat phone in their town. And, you know, you say something that in any other time in America they would have gone, oh, that's feisty, but yeah, then they send a goon squad to kick your door in. So this has been the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com.
Well, more so now than ever, I think, because Facebook is actually a public company now. And we didn't address this yet, but we will address it coming up
tomorrow.
For other shows
tomorrow
even. Yeah, there you go. Same bad time. All right, fiends. It has been wonderful, and we love you, and peace.
Worms.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FREEDOMFEENS.com.